Blog Talk Radio.
When the sun settles down,
everybody. Here we go again, the first day of the week. It's rolling on. I hope you guys can hear me. If you can somebody please push one just to let me know you can hear me? I've been having trouble with my phone. Thank you, 614. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Alrighty, so, you know, there's a few things that I think we need to talk about. And I think we use this platform for the right things, you know, all the time. But I was thinking about a conversation we had yesterday. And the conversation in class yesterday was somebody brought up the fact that, you know, we have been taught as in spiritual Christianity, in Gentile Christianity, that we are Gentiles. So today, what I did was I Googled who are Gentiles today. Well, guess what, everybody? Of course, I'm going to read it to you. When I tell you that this whole thing is a lie, the more I pull out, the more I read, the more it's just incredible. Hold on, let me read to see what it says in the definition. In the Britannica, religious designation, Gentile is a person who is not a Jew. The word stems from the Hebrew term goy, G-O-Y, which means a nation, and was applied to both Hebrews and to other nations. The plural goyim, G-O-Y-I-M, especially with the definite article, ha goyim, the nations, meant nations of the world that were not Hebrew. The Latin version of the Bible translated goyims as gentes, singular gents, or Gentiles. In modern uses, Gentile applies to a single individual, although occasionally, as in English translation of the Bible, the Gentiles mean the nation. Oh, my goodness. It says, in post-biblical Hebrew, goy came to mean an individual non-Jew rather than a nation because most non-Jews in the Western world were Christians. Gentile came to be equated with Christian. Strictly speaking, however, any non-Jew is a Gentile. In the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, also called Mormonism members, regard themselves as Israelites, and Gentiles is used to denote any person who is not of the house of Israel, not a member of the 12 tribes of Israel through blood descent or adoption by means of baptism into the Latter-day Saints. The term is also sometimes used to refer to any person who is not a Mormon. Incredible. It just don't stop. I mean, it really doesn't. It's just it's incredible how deep this stuff goes. It is truly incredible how deep this stuff goes. It truly is. I've never seen anything like this. I just have not. And not that, I mean, it's just incredible. I'm serious. When you understand that, it's just incredible. You know, that we use in the Bible, and the Bible is telling you who a Gentile is, that this has gone to this extreme. And the reason why I'm doing this on here today is to let you all know just how deep the rabbit hole goes. When I tell you that the Most High's word is true and it don't lie, when he tells you that you are in the land of your enemies, I mean, this is some serious stuff. When you have the Mormons thinking they the Israelites, incredible. It's just, I mean, you know, wow. And you have to understand where that puts us as a people that have awakened. You have to understand what that means as a people that have awakened, that truly know who they are. When I tell you, you public enemy number one, don't get it twisted. I'm still, listen. This is serious stuff. It really is some serious stuff. That the whole world has discarded us like we came up missing. Like the true Israelites, the ancient Israelites have come up missing. And now everybody is trying to assume our identity that feel like they have a right to. Crucial. It's incredible. You know, I hadn't read through the whole article, but because I had just got down to where it said Goyim. Because it clearly contradicts, let me find it, Genesis chapter 10. It clearly contradicts that. It does. It contradicts that. You know, and all you have to do is read. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah. He had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. I mean, it's just simple as reading. The sons of Japheth are Gomer, Magog, Madi, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer are Ashkenaz, Riphah, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan was Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanan. And in verse number 5, says explicitly, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue and after their families in their nations. The children of Japheth are the Gentiles. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Do you all understand how serious this is? It's incredible. The European people are the Gentiles. I don't know. The other children, Hamite children, are considered to be the heathens. Ooh, I don't want to step on nobody's toes. I'm just saying. The other children of Shem that are not Israelites are the strangers. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I mean, that simple as it gets. The Bible clearly says that the heathen shall know, and the Gentiles shall know, and the stranger shall attach himself to Israel. Now, not to say, because we've been reading in the last couple of days that, yes, Gentiles will make it in the last days. They will make it through to all the way up to Yahushua's kingdom. When he comes to set up his kingdom on the earth, they will be here. They will. Some of the heathens will make it. The strangers will make it. It will be a multicultural nation. of people. Because in Daniel chapter 7, it states that all kindreds, nations, and tongues shall be under his rulership. All means all. All we're trying to do is define the terms and put them in their proper perspective. And it is incredible to see how these terms have gotten blurred. They blurred. And intentionally, the lines have been blurred. It's incredible how far people go to be able to say and do what, because you don't read, and because you take people at their word and what they say, you believe everything that they tell you, and it's like, no, you got to read. It's incredible. It is truly incredible. And I'm going to read it in Daniel chapter 7, just two verses, 13 and 14. He said, and I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So here we have, that's right, we read what? Two chapters? Identified, tore all that down, all that Gentiles and anybody that's not a Jew, I tore all that down. But because we have people, oh my goodness, now you understand why your brothers and sisters, your family members, and the people that are still caught up in this matrix don't want to hear you, because I'm telling you, when I tell you their eyes have been closed, it truly has. Because as far as they're concerned, there's only two distinct groups of people. Either you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. You can't be nothing else. And the Bible clearly talks about the stranger, the heathen, and the Gentile, and the Israelites, and the Jews, which we know that the Israelites are set up, have been split up into two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. You know, this rabbit hole goes deep. This thing was truly designed by the Most High to do what it did. He did. And you know what? I don't blame anybody. I really don't. I don't. Because only Yah could have put this together. I don't blame nobody. He had to put this together. To put a people together like this all over the world. All over the world, they have the same consensus. Every nation has the same consensus to keep this story going. We are dropped off in every nation. All over the world. And everybody keeps the same storyline going. That's got to be Yah. This stuff is incredible that it has gone to this length. And the more you know, the more he lets you know. The more you think you understand, the more he shows you. It's like my uncle told me, it's like an onion. The more layers you peel back, you're going to keep on peeling back more layers. It's incredible. To the degree that they have gone to make sure that we never come into the knowledge of who we are. It's insane. I've never seen anything like this, but only a God could have did this. Only him. So no, to define what a Gentile is for you all who are listening to our show, who have family members that are proclaiming to be Israelites, no, you're not a Gentile. Either you're a heathen or you're a stranger. if you're not an Israelite. Because even as a stranger, you're still a Hebrew. If you're a descendant of Abraham, you're a Hebrew. You know, and if you're a descendant of Shem, you're a stranger. And a lot of us have gotten the terms blurred because we believe that the Gentile is going to be the stranger that attaches herself to us. And it's like, no, that is not that, no. You know, this is just incredible. Like I said, it's, you know, the more you read it, the more you understand how important it was for us to wake up. The more he exposes, the more you understand how important it was for us to wake up. Because people still believe today that they're Gentiles. And they'll tell you in a minute, I'm a Gentile. And you're like, no, you're not. But again, you know, you can't beat a dead horse. There's no need to do that. You know, and understanding, you know, the information age and how important it is. You know, the more they promote information on the medias and all the things, and in the church and all those things, you've been brainwashed for years. You've been told a story for years. They've stood over that pulpit and told the same story for years. I had a bishop tell me before he passed away that Lucifer is the one that they're worshiping. And I was like, excuse me? He was like, that's all we got. I said, excuse me? He said, that's all there is. I left shocked like, wow. He told me that before he died. It came out of his mouth. And they know. So I mean, you know, this is where we are today. You know, and I think that a lot of people have gotten burnt out trying to holler the truth and trying to tell the truth. Like, this is what it is. It's not what you think. And everybody gets burnt out. Like, oh well, you know, you're not listening, and they can't see it, no matter what you do, and they can't see it. You know, and they believe there's something wrong with you because they can't see it. Because you're not doing what everybody else is doing. You know, and like I said, you know what, you can't go from knowing to not knowing. There's no way you can pretend. You know, you just can't pretend. There's no way to do that. Not that there's anything you can do about it, because that's just the way it is. You can't change the story, the system, or the plot. That's just the way it is. But at least you know. That's why I always ask people, what would you rather do, know or not know? Now that you know, would you prefer to go back into the dark and not know and play the game like everybody else? Or did it benefit you knowing? And everybody says, well, Yaina, you know, I probably would rather know. But there's a pain that comes with knowing because you can't change it. There's anxiety that comes with knowing because you're truly ready to go. But you can't change that either. You know, you can't change that either. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, whoa. I mean, it's painful. You know, sometimes knowledge is painful. It costs you something. Whew. I don't know. I'm telling you the truth. And you just sit there like, man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, and then you got to be... And you got to have some tough skin because everybody around you think you done lost your mind. For real. They're like, what's wrong with her? I don't know. My sister said, somebody asked me, where's your sister at? She a Hebrew Israelite. They said, shut up. Yes, she is too, girl. She a Hebrew Israelite now. Ooh, it's a lot. Mm. mercy. You know, and it's a loneliness that goes with this. And I'm so glad that you guys are here with me. You know, because everybody calls and say, well, I thought I was the only one. I was out here by myself. You know? And you looking like, no, you ain't by yourself. We here for each other, but it's still a loneliness. That's why these classes and radio shows and all this stuff during the week helps us to get through the week. It's like, man, I mean, it would be nice to be able to have your whole family over for the Passover and have meal, or have your whole family over for the feast of whichever one you serving, but they look at you like, I ain't coming over there. What is that? It is. No, it's serious. It is a loneliness in knowing. Believe me when I tell you it is. It's like, geez. And especially when you know that what everybody else is doing is wrong. You're like, then they tell you, who made you judge and jury? How do you know whether what you're doing is right? I can read it in the book. It's a very interesting, I'm telling y'all, I don't know. And it's like I said, you can't change it, because just like we read yesterday, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled, and the things that we read about in Revelation yesterday, that it has to fulfill itself. It has to. And we have to be all right with that. Waiting for the day of deliverance for the place of safety. Now you understand why important it is for the place of safety. Because the Bible says that's what it is. I'm going to pull you to a place of safety where you don't have to cry no more. I'm going to put you in a place where you ain't going to have to worry no more. I'm going to put you tucked away where you ain't have to worry about nobody touching you no more. Some serious stuff. Because what do? You're going against the grain. What's happening? You're challenging the status quo. What are you doing? You're threatening the narrative. You're making other people look up and say, well, wait a minute, let me see that. And you know who you're challenging the most? The Gentile. Because they're looking like, wait a minute, what they mean? What you mean? We're going into captivity? Hold on, wait a minute. What are you talking about? The Israelites don't care one. They in such a stupor in the day. They don't care one way or the other. They're like, well, you know, you give me some red bottom shoes and something, you know, a purse to carry, and I'm good. They don't care nothing about that. But the Gentile is looking, because you know what? They're the ones who are controlling the narrative, and the people that are following them are saying, well, wait, that ain't what it say. You still got to tell them. You still got to tell our people, you know, and not that we're here to give any information to the Gentiles, because that's not what we was called to do. We was called to gather ourselves. That's what he told us to do. So that's what we're doing. However, in the midst of doing that, you got issues that you're going to run into some opposition, because truly a Gentile is a nation of people from Japhet. But if you go into scripture, Esau ain't nowhere to be found in today's time. Where's Esau? Like he just disappeared. So, I mean, you know, I understand everybody's pain. I understand how you feel. I know why you show up every Sunday. I know why you come on Saturday on the Sabbath and, you know, during the week, because we need that support, that weekly support, to help us to get through it. Because there's still downtime when you at home by yourself. There's still downtime when you go to work every day and see the mess. There's still times when you watch, when you're trying to occupy your time, when you're not reading and when you're not praying. It's time when you want to watch a good movie and you can't find nothing because it's all dark. It's dark. Yes, we know. We understand why. Because you just need that togetherness, just those few moments to say, it's going to be all right. Just hold on. We're going to make it. I know you're getting frustrated, but it's almost over. Not knowing when y'all's going to come, because no man knows when he's going to ignite that, because he wasn't clear. Only thing he was clear about was the 400 years. That's the only thing that he was clear about. He didn't say afterwards, when we were going to see the destruction of the other nation, how long afterwards was. Nobody, he didn't say that. He didn't specify that. Whether it was going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, he didn't say. So no matter how frustrated we get, we still got to wait on it. So, I mean, you know, it takes a lot. And in the meantime, people dying, family members leaving, you know, family, people getting divorced, people going through all kinds of changes, because you may be in a situation where, for whatever reason, it just ain't working. You know, we don't encourage that at all. And you're just trying to hold on to your sanity, you know, because now you know you can't go back to not knowing. You know, you just can't go back to not knowing. So I understand more than you know, but the thing about it is that we have to wait. We have to wait on y'all. We have to wait. You know, each time we learn something different, it's a new way or a new angle that you can be able to tell somebody if they ask you, because guess what I'm noticing? Don't nobody come up to me and ask me nothing no more. They don't ask me nothing no more. I be waiting on them to do it. You know, ain't no Jehovah Witnesses knocked on my door. They be walking around in the mall with pamphlets. They don't bother me. I'm not like, do I have a neon sign on my forehead or something saying, don't go to her, whatever you do. You know, they don't. They just don't do it. You know, and it's real weird. It's like, wow. You know, they don't bother to do anything. You know, so again, you still educate yourself so that when the time comes, and some of us have written books, very good books. You know, like I said, we on TV now. They got the one thing on Tubi, Reclaim the Throne, and then we got the program on Amazon that you can purchase. You know, all of the stuff. I mean, it's out there. People got books all on Amazon. All kind of books is floating around. You know. But it's Yah that does the waking up, and it's Him that does the increase. But when you get to that point, you really have to rely on Yah. And it's a beautiful thing to know who you are. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love being an Israelite. I love the culture. I love the Sabbath day. I love it all. You know, but you have to do something to occupy your time until He comes. You have to do something in the building of this nation while you're waiting on Him to come, or else you're going to lose your mind trying to sit around doing nothing. You have to contribute something to the cause. And I know all of us are busy, and all of us are working, and all of us are doing, but you have to do something. You know? Everybody's trying to be entrepreneurs and have their own companies and this and that, and that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you still have to do something to contribute. We read about that yesterday, you know, with the parable of the householder and the talent. You have to do something. You know, so all of that's necessary. Because we, you know, we come and we have, but some of us have excellent talents and skills. And well, I'm just so busy. You can't be that busy. You have to be able to donate time and do something. Something. You know, so that you can occupy your time, and also you can contribute to the nation as a whole as to what we have. You know, and it's just important. It's very important to do. You know, so we are, you know, we are definitely going to start doing some different things and setting some things in motion. Because we do a lot during the week. Believe me, it takes a lot. You know, we're doing a lot. We have a lot of things set up, you know, and implementing different things. And, you know, and the problem is not that we don't work. It's just that there's not enough hours in the day and there's not enough people committing to it. So, you know, and some of you all are new and you're just getting over the shock of everything. And it does. It takes a moment to get adjusted to this new normal because it's definitely a new lifestyle. But at the end of the day, we still have to roll up our sleeves and we have to go to work because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, we've been looking for seamstresses for a long time, fashion designers that can sit down and design certain things that we need for certain occasions. We need those things. You know, website designers. We need all of that. You know, we need those things. And put those things together because we got to do something. Because if not, you know, you need something to do. You know, so I just wanted to say that, you know, that we have to be very clear and make sure the lines are very well defined when you start talking about Gentiles. You know, but again, you know, when we came over here and we was living, you know, before we got over here, we was adopted into this Christian way of thinking. And forced to believe a certain thing. And it's just a miracle how the Most High has, even now, he's taken back his people. And all he did was wake up and said, oh, that's not true. Let me show you what truth is. And you know what I found? The world don't want truth. They don't want truth. They want their version of what truth is. They want the truth that fits into their lifestyle. They do. When, you know, they don't want the truth that you bring in. They don't want it. They never have wanted it. Since he came on the scene, they didn't want it. Remember when he stood before the Pilate and he said, all I've done is tell the truth. He said, truth? He said, what is truth? The world don't want truth. But they don't have a choice because the Most High is the one that puts it into the earth. And the lie has been going for so long and has been living for so long and germinating for so long that one day he just dropped truth just a little bit and it said, bam! And everybody just was in shock like, wait, what's that? He said, this is truth. And we've been in a state of shock the whole time. Like, wow, this ain't true? He was like, no. You mean over here ain't true either? He was like, no. And this right here ain't the real truth. He said, no. And some of us was masters at it. We had it down. We had it figured out. It fit. You know, and he had to come and shake up the foundation like, that ain't how it fit in, though. Let me show you the real truth. You know, so, I mean, I understand how difficult it is. I understand what it takes. I understand, you know, the loneliness. I understand that. I do. Believe me when I tell you I understand. I understand. That's why, you know, we are committed to making sure that we're here. You know, just to hear the word, just to hear the word. It's like, man, I got to just hear a little bit of the word, just a little, just because it keep me going all week. I need that. Because if not, you get caught up. You can feel free to push one anytime you want to and join the conversation. You know, I mean, you know, if you agree, yeah, you know, if you want to share something, because the whole world is listening. I'm really just not talking to the people on the call. The world is listening. We are heard all over the world. Everywhere. They listen to us in Iran, Russia, Australia, all over the world. Hold on. Erica 28928, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you all. while back when I first joined, when I first started listening to the Nation of Yehuda, I was given something that I believe was from the Most High. And most people think that the House of Israel just includes the children of Israel, but let me share something with you. Let me finish, because it's going to upset some people. Whitney Houston had sung a song, I'm Every Woman. I believe the reason why the Gentiles had taken over different nations is because they wanted to be every nation. It was given to me that the children of, who's in the house of Israel? Israel himself. And then the Hebrews, and then the Israelites, and then the strangers, and there's one more, the sons of God, including the fallen. Including the fallen, the sons of God. Now, there's some book of the book of Enoch that explains the fallen angels and how they looked. And the sons of God, of Yah, I would say, Yah, excuse my expression, the sons of Yah, they have taken over because they want, Lucifer wanted to be in control of it all. Mm-hmm. Even the things that was not assigned to him, he wanted to take control. And I look at the world today, the way Yah had set it up, he told us to subdue the earth and like have dominion over it, but he never said to have dominion over each other. Now, Israel saw that the other nations had kings, and they wanted a king that they could see like the other nations. But Yah never told us to be in charge and take dominion over, because he knew where it was going to lead. And when, so I just want to let you know that they said that they are Israel, but they leave everybody else out. I believe what I was given, this is why Armageddon, it's got to happen. For number one, we are going to be raptured because he's going to take us to a land. The Israel is going to be taken to a land that Yah promised. Now, he's going to judge the Gentiles separately. That's the word. That's the scripture. I've read it many times, and I have a bad habit of being able to look and believe what I read. Now,
right.
He's not going to judge Israel. He's not going to judge Israel like the children of Israel the same way he's going to judge the Gentiles. The Gentiles are different because he said, the Messiah said, he came for only but for the loss of the house of Israel, he said. That's the fallen angel. So the Hebrews already had a promise. The children of Israel already had a promise. The sojourners had a promise as long as they sojourn with the children of the people of Israel. Now, who's left over? The sons of God. Some of them have got to be judged because they've fallen with Lucifer, who wanted to be in charge. They have taken this world and made a cesspool of disease and death and destruction, and they want to be in charge. But look at the mess that they have made with the world that he created. They took charge of it. They made a mess of it. He's coming back to judge, and he's coming back to put things in order the way he wanted it, because he made it, and not one of them made one Adam.
That's true.
So
that is true.
I just want to encourage you that, yeah, they might be of the house of Israel, but they're not the children of Israel, and they don't have the promise, and they did sin against him, and they will pay, and they will be judged, and they will be everything he said he promised he would do, he will do. He will do, and he will do what he said with his people. He said he's going to do all with his people. They coming down to us. Yah made sure of that. They coming down to us. It's a matter of that right there is metaphoric for them to come down to us because they have lifted themselves above what God has ordered and what God ordained and what God has set in place. They have lifted themselves. They went too far. They went too far. And I just want to encourage you that they're coming down. They're coming down to us. He's bringing them down. He's bringing them down to us. So when we get in the land, I just want you to remember that I told you all that. That was given to me long time ago. And I said, if I tell people that, I said, they're going to think I'm crazy. But for them to all be...
Go ahead.
But what they're doing right now, killing all the people, because that's what they're trying to do, killing all the people. How did they get up to heaven? How did they get up to heaven that they're going to be judged in heaven before we come down? Before they come down. How did they get up to heaven? Number one, they put themselves up there. And number two, they must have, some of them must have died, and he called them up there to judge them. But we are going to still be on the earth. And the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So let's remember that. I believe with all my heart that that was given to me by the Spirit of God, because he's given me some things. And I said, I would never disclose that until the time came. And then when you said that today, I just wanted to let you know that they include themselves on everything, but they exclude the rest of us from everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do agree with you to a point. I mean, I do, they call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever they want to call me, but I do believe that, you know, the systems are being ran by Lucifer in his, because he's the god of this world. He is. The scripture tells you that the Messiah called him the god of this world. I do believe that. I believe that all of the systems that we are dealing with today are systems that he controls and that he runs, and I do believe that is happening today. The gods that the other nations are serving, they do serve those gods, and those gods were given at the Tower of Babel. Every nation was given its own language and its own god, and they went up to their own prospective lands. I believe that. When you say the house of Israel, that's where I have to tweak that just a little bit, but I understand what you're talking about. The Bible calls them stars in Revelation chapter 12. And a lot of people don't differentiate, and not you, but I'm just saying in general, a lot of people have to differentiate between the stars and the angels that left with Lucifer, because he did have his angels that went with him when he left heaven, but there was something else that happened in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, and it talks about his tail. It says, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And when you cast something to the earth, you throw it out. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So when you talk about a third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth, those are the house of Israel. That's the house of Israel. Because we were already
angels,
Israel. We were
the fallen
already,
angels are.
But
are.
The fallen angels, they can't be redeemed.
Some of them are going to be redeemed because he threw them out. They didn't go willingly. I believe that when you say you throw something out, they didn't. He must have been stronger because they were underneath him and they were below his rank. He threw them out. So that wasn't going, some of the Gentiles are going to be saved because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13, it says that they have to go through great tribulations in order to make it. So he's going to give them a chance to be, some of them to be saved. But when they were thrown out, that means that they didn't necessarily go willingly.
Right, and that's why the Bible calls them stars. Those are not the fallen angels. The fallen angels came when they landed on Mount Hermon, and they are the ones who slept with the daughters of men. There's a difference there, and I think that's where we get mixed up at, because they can't be redeemed. They've already done the sinful thing. They've changed their form. They've slept with the women and created children. So there was no way for redemption to happen to them. But the third part of the stars of heaven is the redemption. That's the house of Israel. Because they're mixed in with the children of Israel, there's only going to be one-third that's going to be redeemed. The two-thirds is going to be cut off. So that's who he's redeeming. And that's what we're going to be teaching next Saturday, to understand the difference between the one-third. Because that is very important. Now, once I get into his kingdom, because, see, this is what we're supposed, that's the gospel. The gospel is to be preaching that his kingdom is coming. And they're not teaching that. That's not what they profess the gospel to be. They're talking about his birth, his life, and his resurrection, and the rapture. That's what they consider gospel to be. But he said when the kingdom of Yah is preached throughout all the earth, then he's coming back. So we have to be responsible for letting the world know that he's coming in this day and time, where there's still cars, there's still trains, the planes are flying in the air, and the kings of this earth are still ruling. He said in the days of these kings, I'm going to come and set up a kingdom. But because we're living among the Gentile, in the Gentile reign, nobody talks about it. Because it threatens the narrative of what they're preaching. The way they're preaching the story is, once we finish with this, and the Gentile reign is over, you're going to rapture out of here. You're not going to go through any tribulation. You're going to rapture out of here and go to heaven. And everybody else that's left is going to go through the tribulation. But we are going to be in heaven, and we're going to escape it. And that's where the problem comes in at. So, no, they're not going to let you preach that Yah is coming to the earth to set up a kingdom right now during this time. And he's going to rule it from Jerusalem. They don't preach about the 1,000 years. They preach about that after they have caught up to heaven and they escape the tribulation. So that's the difference. But I mean, you know, we'll go through that all over that next week when we get ready to teach. But thanks for your comment. I appreciate it. But you know, we have to, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to understand. It's a lot. It really is, you know. But this is deep. Even just to be talking about fallen angels is just crazy. And giants is just to be crazy. You know, but it's the truth. It's true. And these are the things that we have to be able to, you know, now that we're talking about it, not everybody's talking about it. They done wrote books and all kind of stuff now. They've written books and all kind of things. They've had tours to some of the places where the giants were. And I'm so sorry I lost this man's number, because when I was going to give my conference in 2010, he called me. He said, I got a skull. He said, I got a giant skull, the head of a giant, that's a skull. He said, I'll bring it with me. He said, but they don't know I have it. They said, because if they knew I had it, they would come and get it from me and take it. And I don't know who, I don't remember who he was or what his phone number was, because my life was changing at that moment, and it was like, wow. You know, and there are people out there that have this kind of stuff. And they have it here because they don't want nobody to know they have it, to prove that these things exist. Because if you can prove that they existed, then you prove the whole narrative about the fallen angels and the sleeping with the women and the giants living on the earth and all that. Again. But he said, I'll bring it with me. I have it. You know, but that was so many years ago, I didn't bother to, you know, how you lose phone numbers change, and, you know, people, it was just, it's over. You know, but they did. He did. He said he had it, and that he could bring it, we could see it. He had an elongated skull. You know, so this thing is really real. The story is real. All you have to do is, the biggest thing is believe his word. I know it's just words on a page in a book, but believe his word, because his word is not going to come back void. Irregardless to what you see, believe his word. and watch his word, because nobody can perform it but him. I mean, real talk. And this is where it becomes important. It's very important, you know, that you stay in his word, that you continue to pray, and that you talk to him and you stay in his word and understand. You know, I think, I mean, even yesterday, did we clarify some things for some of you all that was on the call yesterday? Did you learn something different in terms of that whole 1,000-year reign and what the tribulation was going to be? Because a lot of them feel like they're going to escape, and it's like, no, no, no. And you can't tell them anything different. You just have to wait till it happens and everybody sees. You know. It's a real thing. The Battle of Armageddon is a real thing. And if he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, whether or not we be alive long enough to see it, I don't know. By him taking us home and we going, you know, living our lives, will our life expand? Is he going to extend our lifespan? I don't know that. I can't answer that question because I don't know. You know, it's a real thing. This is serious stuff. This is real. This is a story that is unfolding right in front of us. We're living in a real story. We are. We're existing in a real story that we can read the pages in a book and realize that this is a real story. I told y'all it's just like the program in Storybrooke. And I know that was a fairy tale story, but the theme of the program was that the characters were living in a town, and they were living like normal people, but they were really characters in the book, and they didn't know who they were. And when the Savior came, and it was a woman at the time when she came, and realized she was the one that was going to have to release them so that they knew they were characters in the book. And it's the same situation here. This is the same situation. We are reading about real life and what we're experiencing right now in our life. It's a storyline in a book, in the Bible, that we're reading it right now, hand, word to word, page to page, chapter to chapter. We're characters that have been birthed into the earth to play a part, to fulfill the words that the Most High put together, or the storyline that he put together. He wrote the end from the beginning. And nothing happens by chance. And the scripture says, and we know all things work together for the good to them who love Yah and are the called according to his purpose. That means your part has already been played out, and now all you got to do is walk it out. That's some deep stuff right there. I mean, that's all that right there is just deep. Like, wow. You know, you're walking out your storyline. From the job you have, to the people you meet, to the people you marry, to the children you have, to the things that you have to go through, you are walking out your storyline for whatever purpose it is. Here you are. To how long you live, how long you stay, whatever things you have to go through. Because it all led up to this right here, to the fact of you knowing that you are one of the children of Israel from the tribe of either Judah, Benjamin, or Levi. Changed your whole life. It changed everything about what you believe, who you are, how you see your family, what plans you make from your life from this day forward. All your plans, everything stopped at that moment. Like, wow. It released you from idolatry. It stopped you from being whoremongering. All of that. It stopped all of it. You started keeping his law, statutes, and his commandments from that day forward. And if you didn't keep them all, you working at keeping them. Exactly what it means. You know, exactly what it means. Crucial stuff. And you're like, man. You know, this is really real. You know, and that's what the whole storyline was on Storybrooke. They were living, and the little boy was trying to tell them, you really are characters in a book. You're in the book. And they like, he crazy. And even though they was, you know, what's the word I want to use, fairy tale characters, they still were in the book that he had. And he was telling them how it was going to play out. And nobody believed him. And this is exactly what we're going through right now. Nobody believes us. It's like you're in the book. Like, dummies, and you want to say that, but you can't, because you know they can't see it. Abraham is your forefather. And they be like, yeah, but I'm a Gentile. No, you're not. Well, my pastor said, I'm going to have to ask my pastor. And you like, oh, Lord, have mercy. No. But it's the truth. And that's what we've been trying to tell them the whole time. Your characters in the book. Yeah. And everybody, all the other nations know the story. So they gladly adopted to assume the position. They like, oh, the Mormons, oh, we Gentiles. I mean, we Israelites. And you got other people saying, oh, we Israelites. And then you got other people in there saying, oh, we're the Israelis. And don't nobody say nothing because the story keeps going on and on and on. Because the real characters don't believe it. They just don't believe it. And you're like, wow. You know, and the more we talk, the less they listen. They do not
imagine
listen.
You
it's like, man, oh, man, oh, man. They don't listen. Yes. Crucial. It is really some serious stuff. And, you know, we just try. We keep trying, and we keep trying, and we keep on trying. And it's like, wow. It used to be called Once Upon a Time. That was the name of it, Once Upon a Time. Ain't that the truth? And in that sitting, Once Upon a Time. And that's the truth. Once upon a time, we were the children of Israel. And it's the truth. And no matter how much we try to yell and scream, no matter what we try to do, it just doesn't compute. It doesn't. No. And we try with everything we have to try to get people to understand it. And it's serious. It is really serious. I'm trying to find the, hold on, I want to play it for you real quick. Check this out. Over the people, and in the curse, the people forget who they are. Watch.
I will stop, and we will be trapped. Everything we love will be ripped from us while we suffer from all eternity. No more happy endings.
What can we do?
It's growing inside you. On her 28th birthday, the child will return. This is our only hope.
I'd like a room. Welcome to Storybrooke.
ABC's
Sundays this fall on ABC.
And they're in and the way that I was trying to find the one where the little boy says they're characters in a book, and they don't understand who they are. They don't know who they are. And basically, that is what it is. I mean, and that's what we've been trying to tell people for the longest. That you, but we can't tell them because guess what? Yah is the one who put the curse on us, and Yah is the one who has to lift the fog off of their brain to get them to see what the truth is. And this is the way we're living right now. We are literally characters in a book. Hold on, I think I found it. Hold on just a minute. Here we go. Check this out.
You actually have it. You should know more than anyone.
What is that?
Because you're in this book.
She said, where are we going? She said, somewhere horrible. Ain't that the truth? Hold on.
I will always find you.
I will destroy you. It is the last thing I do.
Enjoy your stay. Emma.
He said, there are characters in the book and you in the book. And guess what? The evil person is trying to destroy the people. And ain't that the truth? Isn't that the storyline? Crucial. So I know, and I know it's TV. And everybody be like, Lainey, you crazy. You no, this is our storyline. The only thing that was different is we disobeyed y'all, and he told us, this is where I'm going to put you. And you're gonna just live there until I deliver you. It's crucial. It is just a lot going on, but I mean it is what it is. You know, how difficult is it? Is it harder for you all now that you know? Is it harder for you to get through each day now that you know? Because you're ready to go, but you know you can't go nowhere yet? Anybody experiencing that? No. No. I mean, real talk. Area code 214. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
I was going to say, no, it's not harder. It's actually easier. I think hard was thinking that there was no end to whatever it was that I was experiencing, and I saw people around me experiencing, especially when I couldn't quite put a name on to it or put my finger on it. But knowing what it is that we're in and knowing that there's an expected end, it makes it easier because every day I know we're closer, and every day I look and I see the signs. And it's a comfort. You know, it's a comfort knowing that the word that's spoken is actually coming true and being able to see that manifest as a truth. And so I say it's easier.
Well, I mean, that's a good, I'm glad to hear that. I am really glad to hear that. I think it's easier for me being released from all the responsibilities of the pagan holidays and the things that we were held responsible to do because everybody else was doing it. I think that part is easier for me. And like you said, knowing that there's an end to it made it a whole lot easier because even some of the people today ask the same question, why are we hated so much? You know, why do they hate us so much? Why is there so much opposition and we haven't done anything to these people? And the thing is these people are not the ones you offended. You offended your Elohim. So I think it's easier in that part in knowing that answer. That made it a whole lot easier for me to know that the reason why we was hated so much is because we offended our Elohim and he put us here. But it's hard in a sense because, you know, truly I want him to deliver us the way he said he was, and I know he's coming, you know, but, you know, and you want that to happen, you know, so that you don't have to keep going through this, but at the same time, you got to wait on him, and that's the hard part. The hard part is waiting for me.
I don't know. I think it's, well, I don't, I'm kind of trying to puzzle through. Maybe it's just where I am today at this particular point in time, but for me, as I said before, it's not hard. The thing that I also really appreciate about knowing who we are is the fact that I think for a long time I internalized things. I thought it was something with me, it was something with us as a people, it was just something outside of myself that couldn't be controlled. But to know who I am and to know why it is that we're experiencing what we're experiencing, it actually is very freeing, because now I look outward rather than inward. Because I think one of the things that, at least for me, I would think, boy, there's something about me. I've got to beg. I've got to scrap. I've got to base myself, do whatever I can to try and please whoever I'm at the mercy of. And because I really wasn't sure exactly why we were in this situation and why we were going through what we were going through as a people, even though sometimes individually it's like I could escape it sometimes, it just has made it so much easier. It's been a mental burden that has been lifted in that sense. And then it's also another burden that's been lifted knowing that there is an end to this thing. And also because things are wrapping up really fast. I mean, I see the end wrapping up. And unlike some people, I have the expectation that this thing could end tomorrow. I don't see it stretching out like 10 or 20 years. I see it ending within my lifetime. If I lived for any reasonable length of time beyond today, I see it ending. And so that also helps me, because I'm not expecting this to just go on and on and on and on, and maybe, you know, the next generation is the one that's going to see it. I expect to see the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, yeah, I do too. I don't know. I mean, you know, you just sometimes you have to accept it for what it is. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, it does make it a lot easier. It really does, you know. But again, you know, when you wait on something and you're ready, you think you're physically ready, you know. But when the time comes, I guess we'll be more ready than we are right now, you know.
Yeah, I think it's also helpful in the sense that if you know who you are, and if you know what the expected end is, and you know why things are happening as they're happening, and you have something to gauge what's happening, just reading through the book and seeing what's going on, it's very beneficial, because it helps to change, at least for me, what my focus is. I see a lot of people, as you were saying, they're investing in maybe bags or shoes, property, any number of things. All of that thing is good. We should be doing all things in moderation. But some people are thinking, if this is all there is, I'm going to try and maximize it. And they're maximizing it in many instances, from what I can see, as a hedge against the type of buffeting we've received as a group of people. So we no longer have the communities that shield us. It used to be that you could find refuge within our own community. There were people like us who had our same experiences, our own set of values. We could control what happened within the community. We could control the types of pathological things that happened. We wouldn't tolerate certain things. But now, because the community has been fractured and you don't have those kinds of safeguards, it's like people are trying to build their own safeguards. It's much easier to build with people as opposed to building individually. And so I also see this as a very beneficial thing to know. We are a nation. We can start to think collectively again. We can start to think, what is it that we can do as a nation as opposed to what I must do as an individual to protect myself? And so here again, I think knowing is really important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, it is. I agree. I mean, you got to know. I'd much rather would know. I don't want to have to go through that either. You know, I really don't want to have to go through any of that. That was difficult, because it was like Sister Lavia always said, it was like being being on a hamster wheel. You know, no matter how much, you know, you knew that you had the tenacity and the drive and the adventure, I mean, and the drive to want to be something, there was always something there buffeting you to keep you from going only but so far. You know, and you, every time you ran into that wall, you'd be like, no, wait a minute, I've done everything, I've gone to school, I've got the degree, you know, I've made the connections, you know, but still, I can't get there. And I've heard men say it and women say it, and especially black men. You know, mm-hmm. some very well, and there's a few that make it, you know, to a certain point. They start their own businesses and become CEOs and all that kind of stuff. But for the people that went up the ranks, you know, they're like, man, I'm struggling to get a seat at the table because I deserve to be at the table. I've done everything they've told me to do. And when you know what you're up against, it kind of makes things make sense. Not that you don't keep striving to be the best you can be, but when you run into that wall, you have to know that either Yah wants you there or he doesn't. If he doesn't want you there, it's for a reason. So you don't blame yourself anymore. It's like, okay, I'm not gonna take this out on myself because now I know, you know, that this is how he set this up. And you know, I'm gonna be satisfied. I'm not gonna be content or become lazy or not try anymore. But I'm not gonna beat myself anymore because I didn't make it to where I thought I should be.
Well, that's right. Because if you know what you're up against, you know what to focus on. But if you think that your problem is something that is actually totally unrelated to your situation, you'll be at least. I think that I would certainly be expending my energy in a way that was counterproductive because instead of putting my focus on the thing that I really needed to advance or to shield myself or to build up whatever resources I needed, I would be expending my energy and time on something that was not going to benefit me in terms of fighting who my actual enemy is or what my or getting myself out of the actual situation that I'm in or, as I said, building a hedge of protection because I think one of the things that, at least for me, I'm very much into feeling protected. I like safety. I don't like uncertainty. I need to know what it is that I'm dealing with, and I think a lot of people need that, and I think that that's true. We can see that in society. All of these anxious people doing crazy things because all of a sudden their world is just a little less predictable, a little less safe. And that's one of the benefits that they've had by thinking, I know who I am. I know who my God is. I know, you know, who's privileged in this particular situation. And nobody, when that's challenged, then all of a sudden people's world is just a little less stable. Their behavior is a little more erratic. Likewise, for us as a nation, the more we know who our Elohim is, the more we know what our situation is, the more we know what our expected end is, the more we know what the game plan is supposed to be to get us where we're supposed to be going, we can become more stable. We can become more focused. We can become more at peace. I see it as a benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, it has settled, like I said, it has settled me down and gave me a calm. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not getting ready to jump through no hoops over that. It is what it is. You know, I'm good with where I'm at. I'll praise you, you know, because Paul said it. He said I had to learn to be content in whatever state I'm in. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you don't thrive to be better. Don't get me wrong. You do all things in within the will of Yah, and you're content with the fact that he moves you when he wills, because if it's not something he doesn't want you to do, the door ain't opening. You know, sometimes we tried to force the door open when we didn't know, when we thought that, you know, somebody was deliberately trying to keep us out and we had the credentials to be there. But now the prayer life changes. If it's your will, make this possible. But right now I'm content in the state that I'm in because you're providing for me and my needs are met. And that's when like you said, that stabilization comes in. Mm-hmm. And it stops you from jumping and competing, because I know that the last job that I was in, and I hate to say this, but some nations breed on competition. They put their children against each other to compete against each other. And I found it in the workforce. You know, we're gonna have this contest, and whoever does the best at this gets this. And I just sat back like, I'm not participating in that. I didn't come here to do that. I'm going to do the job that you paid me to do to the best of my ability, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not jumping through no hoops to get no extra money. I'm not doing all that. And I think that it just stabilizes the way you look at life. And it doesn't mean you don't try hard to do the best you can, but a lot of that stuff is just unnecessary stress that you just don't need. I'm like, I'm not participating in this mess. I'm not doing that. And you know, and to be honest with you, a lot of times the outcomes weren't fair.
Here's
the thing. That's another way of shooting people down that they didn't want to have it in the first place. And it's like, I'm not even going to play because I'm not going through that. You know,
If you're unbalanced, you're likely to fall over. Now, that's the thing. You know, I've throughout my life, one of the things that at least my mom told us, moderation. We are supposed to be moderate. We're not supposed to be extreme. And also, one of the things that I learned in my studies is that if you really want to have a balanced life, you need to have a work life, you need to have a leisure life, you need to have a love life. It's like a stool with three legs. If you only have two, it's very unstable, and it's not going to stand in all likelihood. But when you have three legs, you know, forming in that tripod, then you can have stability. Then you can balance things, but you need to have each thing. So if everything is all about competition, beating the next guy, achieving, you know, flexing and showing how much you have, and everything else, and other aspects of your life are neglected, you're going to be out of balance. We as a people will be out of balance, and this society is out of balance. You know, we can't have the love for our brother that we're supposed to have, or love for our sister that we're supposed to have, if we are see them as a rival for limited resources. If we don't see them as sharing in what it is that we have, if what we acquire is shared with others, then everybody can really enjoy what everybody brings to the table. They don't have to bring the same thing, but if everybody can contribute something, it makes for variety, but it also makes for stability because no one thing is supporting everything. There are just many ways in which whatever is being done is supported. And so you need a love life, you need a work life, you need a leisure life, and maybe some other things too, but at the very, you know, least, you need balance in different areas of your life. And we need balance as a people. We don't need to be in constant competition. We need to be able to relax together, work together, love together.
And the love that we do is with our brothers and sisters. Absolutely, you know, because
that's
some people hear you say love life and they're like, well, I don't have a significant other. It doesn't have to be that. You know, you have to learn how to love each other, and you have to first learn how to love yourself. And that's the thing where you have to be able to let go of the isms and schisms that this society gives us in order to survive. In order for you to be this, you got to have this. And in order for you to really be accepted, you got to look this way. And in order for you to be, it's always a big ball of stress. When the Most High said, I chose you because I loved you. You are my people. The people that I put in you, the apple of my eye. And that gives people the love back that they need for themselves. Because, I mean, when you're in a situation where you're hated all the time, and you're deliberately put down all the time, and you have not done anything to anyone, it tears people's self-esteem down. When you live in a society where they tell you that you have to get something for Valentine's Day, or you have to get something for Sweetie's Day, or you're just not accepted, or you don't matter to anyone, that gives people that, wow, I really feel bad. I didn't get anything. I'm never getting. And people start thinking low of themselves. And all of that crap that they put out there is crap. That is not to determine who you are, because Most High said he loves you. And the love
that
we express to be love from another individual, most of the time that stuff is skewed. Because until they learn how to love, you know what I'm saying? It's like you know. And that's what you have to be freed from. And people actually kill themselves because they don't get no Valentine's Day present. It's like, really?
Well, here's the thing. If you're taught that whatever is wrong in your life is because there's something wrong with you, then you're not going to really be able to love yourself because you think there's something intrinsically wrong with you. But knowing who we are, we know that the Most High loves us. He says he's loved us with an everlasting love. You know, I used to tell my son, if I could choose anybody else, I'd choose you. And I'd kind of whisper, I'd choose you. and he would bite his lip and smile. Well, that's the same thing that the Most High is basically telling us when he tells us, I chose you out of all of the nations of the earth. You're not the fastest. You're not the biggest, but I chose you. If I could choose anybody else, I choose you. When you get that in your know at the core of your being that you have worth beyond everyone, it doesn't mean that anyone else, you have to compare yourself to them. You just know that there is somebody who loves you, and they chose you when they could have chose anyone else, but they chose you.
That's
then
right.
You can start saying, I don't have to put anybody else down. I can give you some of what I have because I have plenty. You know, I have the love that I need. And likewise, being by yourself. You know, sometimes I'll just take and rub my own hand, rub my own arm. I'll kiss myself. Please, I'm worthy. I'll
That's
do
right.
it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Very well put.
This
That's very, very very well put. I mean, like, I chose you. And even though, you know, we're in a situation where we're mistreated and things are happening, that was because he had to punish us. The beautiful part about that is, like you said, there's an expected end, and he's coming to get us. Yes, ma'am. That's the best part of it all, is knowing that it's almost over. It won't last forever. And we're the generation that's going to see it happen.
I believe that. I was listening to someone last night, and they were saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that African Americans are the children of Israel. And, you know, my feelings are kind of hurt because it's like so many things are saying you aren't who, you aren't the people. But then what I tell myself is, go see. Time will tell.
Yeah.
I'm
sure
watching.
Will.
I'm watching.
Yep.
The Most High, he's true to his word. He says,
yes,
we will see the judgment of this nation. And, boy,
yep.
I look around. I see stuff every day. I see something else. And sometimes I think it's just a mercy. He lets me see something here, and then I'll turn around. Oh, I never knew that. I'm just learning about that. But all it says is my word is true. I'm
it's
fulfilling
true.
My word. I want you to see what I'm willing to do for you because I love you. I chose you when I could have chose anyone else. I'm doing this for you. Yeah.
And you know what? And the fact that they made that statement means that they're thinking about it.
That's true.
And the only response they can give is something negative because they're jealous. And it's normal to be jealous. It's nothing wrong with being jealous. But you can't change what it is. It is what it is. Period.
Yeah. That's
shows
true.
Up. That's
you can't see, but I'm just lifting my shoulders.
Yeah. They thinking about it. It's like, honey, it is what it ain't nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. Now, the thing about it is, the thing about it is they don't want to walk a mile in our shoes. You don't want to go through the 400-year prophecy. You don't want to go through the turmoil and the beatings and the hangings and the rapings and all the other stuff that these children had to go through because of disobedience. You don't want to go through that, but now that it's over, everybody wants to assume the identity. But that's the marker that shows who we are. Those are the things, the curses on us proves that we are who we say we are. But don't nobody want to go through that. They want mm-hmm. the limelight, and they want to holler, he's our God. But you don't want to go through the punishment that we've had to endure because of our disobedience.
You know, the thing that I really want, I was going to say more than anything, but I won't say that because I don't know what I really want more than anything. But the thing that I would really like to see is I'd like to see Israel as a whole really start living out those laws, statutes, and commandments, not because they're just the law, but because when they are applied to people's lives, it makes a radical difference. I mean, I watched a funeral yesterday, and I watched someone who had raised her children, and the husband raised their children with these laws, statutes, and applied. Phenomenal. I mean, the result is startling. If we as a nation could really live, you know, live them out, not just give lip service, really love the way we're supposed to love, forgive the way we're supposed to forgive, be honest, you know, I listened to a sermon today. When somebody's being molested, turn them in. Do not tolerate sin in our midst. None whatsoever. Not tolerate it. We would have a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal nation. That is what I really hope to see more and more.
Well, we're going to get there. Now, whether it be here on this land or whether it's going to be on the soil of Canaan, we're going to get there because he's going to be among us and make sure that all of the rebels are weeded out. That's another prophecy. Mm-hmm. He's going to get rid of the rebels, so it ain't going to be no more of that. You know, if you do some stuff like that, it's over. You know, so that's definitely going to happen. You know, but like I said, the cool part about it is knowing that there's an end and that once we get where he is, it's going to be an end of a whole lot of stuff that we're hearing now and we're being exposed to now that won't exist. So it's a beautiful thing. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And I really thank you for your comment because that's it. That's it right there. You know, that is really it. So, and guess what? We're at the end of our show. I really appreciate everybody coming on. Brother Uriah, can you push one so you can tell us about the new moon ceremony tomorrow and give everybody instructions on what we're supposed to do and what time and everything? Is he still on here? I don't know if he's still here or not. I think he might be gone. oh, there he is. All right, Brother Uriah, you got the...
Yes, we have our new moon celebration tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. And then we'll return back again on Tuesday evening.
All
just
right,
remember,
no
buying or selling during that time. Exactly.
Okay. There you go. No buying or selling. We're going to be on the same call that we're on Saturday. Please do not buy or sell anything after 6 o'clock on Monday. So please do everything that you need to do before 6 o'clock on Monday and have all that stuff done. And we will resume our regular shopping and everything on Tuesday once the sun goes down because that's our new moon ceremony. And on that note, we're going to end our call. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. And don't forget to keep praying and keep me in your prayers. And let's pray one for another. Shalom, shalom, everyone. And we'll see you on Monday night.
Shalom.
Shalom.